millennials compare to the generations that came before them when it comes to financial literacy? Jennifer Robson is an associate professor at Carleton University and a fellow of the Public Policy Forum. She joins us from Ottawa now and is here to discuss the latest report from PPF called Millennial Money, Financial Independence and Well-Being for the Next Generation. Hello there.
Hi.
What are the challenges that millennials actually face? And I say actually because there's so many that people talk about. What are the ones that you found to be most relevant in your research?
Yes, that is an excellent point. There is no shortage, right, of kind of stereotypes and stories out there about millennials. And I think, you know, part of what my report is doing is maybe challenging some of those. I think we've taken a lot of the stories from the U.S. and the U.K. where it's really clear millennials are facing, like, really big challenges. In Canada, the story is a little different. You know, they're not wasting their money on avocado toast.
Mm-hmm.
They do have some challenges, though, and so let me go to those specifically. So compared to Gen Xers at the same age, for example, and that's really, really important, right? Because when we just compare millennials to Gen X and boomers today, things don't look so great. So we've got to compare apples and apples. Anyway, millennials today are more likely to be carrying some student debt. They're more likely to be carrying more of that. They do seem to have a tougher time with regards to making ends meet, like keeping up with regular payments. They are more likely to report financial stress. And interestingly, compared to Gen X, again, at the same age, they're actually more likely, rather, to have somebody in the household who is part of a workplace pension, but they're also more likely to have nobody with any retirement savings at all. So you've kind of got this like bifurcation within the millennial group. So some interesting stuff going on.
And surprisingly, their level of financial literacy is pretty strong. That surprised me.
So I think this is one of those tropes, right? That, oh, kids today, you know, they don't know anything about money. We got to learn them up. We got to teach them how to budget. And I think what my results show is that, 18 and 19-year-olds, they don't know an awful lot yet, right? And remember, today, as I'm talking to you, that's the age of the youngest millennial.
Right.
But it turns out that as they age, they kind of catch up to the rest of Canadians. Now, look, you know, the financial literacy levels of Canadians writ large is not amazing, right? Like,
yep.
We could probably all do with a little learning on that front.
You'll need to listen to my show a little bit more. I'll learn you.
There you go. There you go. So, but millennials are not, they're not different in this respect.
Right. So what the distinction we're making here is that there are things that are generational and then there are things that are life stage.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, your report found that they're performing unexpectedly well, your phrase, in some areas. What are some of those areas?
So I would say one of the areas that really stands out to me, as I said before, was the participation in workplace pensions. I had to rerun that number myself a couple of times.
Is this self-reported? Is this what they're saying?
So these are households that are headed by a millennial, and it's, does anybody in the household participate in a pension? And this is all Statistics Canada data. They don't just ask the survey respondent. They're also able to go and link it with, for example, tax data, right? To be able to have that backstop to check. So this is not just self-reported, because you're right. Some people may think that they have a pension and or may not realize they have one.
It also seems to contradict the overarching stat that certainly defined benefit pension plans have been on the decline for years.
So I think, you know, that one kind of in terms of the broad coverage rates of defined benefit, yes, those are coming down. We don't, you know, my report doesn't delve into whether the pensions are defined benefit or defined contribution. But certainly having some workplace pension is better than no workplace pension. Outside of retirement savings, another thing that really jumped out at me was that when you compare current millennials who are 25 to 33 to Gen X when they were 25 to 33, home ownership rates haven't come down. They haven't changed.
Interesting.
Private housing has gone way up, right?
Yep.
And we know in some markets it's really tough to get in, like, you know, in around Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary to some degree. But overall, across the country, home ownership rates for this generation haven't come down.
You have a number of policy ideas, which I think is interesting because we talk in, flowery language about these issues and the solutions. But you've got some very interesting policy ideas, beginning with one around student loan repayment. We know that's a big issue. It's a university, mm-hmm. post-secondary education is very expensive, and that certainly has outpaced inflation. How does one make student loan repayment easier?
So the government, the federal government, that is, already has some measures in place. And I think it was two budgets ago, they tweaked the system, right, to make it a little more generous so that you didn't start, if you were a student loan borrower federally, you didn't start any repayment until you were making at least $25,000 a year. That's definitely a positive step. But half of the people who are eligible for that repayment assistance don't even apply. Looks like some of that is due to, look, anytime that you create something that's going to be opt-in, right, you're going to leave out some people. We also make it complicated in that once you apply, you have to keep reapplying every 6 months. So, right. You know, we could do more to make that system simpler, and we could proactively contact borrowers who look like they're probably eligible.
Right. You also reference the challenge that small savers have, that the big, registered program like the TFSA and the RRSP are for people who have, a lot more assets. What could the government do, or what could policymakers mm-hmm. do, not just at the level of government, do to help small savers?
Great question. So, when I talked before about millennials having more trouble making ends meet, they are also less likely to have some liquid savings that they could fall back onto. And, that was really kind of the original purpose behind tax-free savings account, in addition to kind of longer-term savings for low-income savers who were being penalized by treatment of RRSPs. But this actually is an idea that I think is interesting and worth talking about. There's a group in Toronto, Commonwealth, that has been, starting to mm-hmm. do some work around this. And it's basically to say, look, you don't get a tax break in terms of a deduction or anything positive like that for putting money into a TFSA. But maybe what we could do is support small savers, right? So people who don't have huge tax liability, so they're not going to get anything out of putting money into an RRSP, with something like a saver's credit, right? So if you put money in, government will match that. We already do something similar, or try to anyway, with registered education savings plans.
Right.
Maybe this is something worth exploring for tax-free savings accounts too.
Another one, you talk about sustainable short-term credit, looking at the needs of younger consumers and that as a particular. Is this, can I connect this to the challenge that many people find themselves in when their last resort becomes a ridiculously high interest rate or a payday loan company?
I think there's part of that. I think my data also suggests that millennials are more likely to be carrying credit card debt too, right? And that makes sense if they're having trouble keeping up with their regular obligations and making ends meet and falling behind on things, right? That how do they fit the shortfall? Well, they turn to credit. So I don't see any signs in my data that vast numbers of millennials are turning to fringe financial lenders, but I think that's still something to keep an eye on. But just more generally, right, making sure that people have access to affordable credit to smooth some of those bumps. And it's not necessarily to, large amounts of personal, personal loans, those kinds of things. But yeah, it's really about making sure that when people have shortfalls, that they have options to look at that are going to be, as you said, sustainable from the financial service provider's perspective, but also from the household's perspective.
One of your other recommendations is to help millennials plan ahead, which we know, we do tons of stories on behavioral economics here. It's very difficult for any consumer, regardless of their age, to think that far in the future. You think the CRA could play a role here. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah. So this one is actually, while I think that this could have an impact on those millennial households where nobody has any retirement savings, I think this is actually something that, more Canadians in general, like I know I could probably benefit from this. CRA already gets an awful lot of information from all of us when we file our return about, did we put anything into an RRSP? Are we in a pension plan? What CPP contributions did we put in? But all of these bits and pieces of information, if you wanted to find them for yourself, you got to hunt and look at a couple of different information sources. So, it's a bit like that idea of biofeedback, right? When you're trying to learn how to do something new, you get that kind of regular feedback. And so why not have CRA send us all, as part of a simplified notice of assessment, personalized information that gives us that regular annual feedback on what we're doing vis-a-vis our retirement. Mm. It's good timing, given that, you know, the new CPP enhancements are about to start coming on board as well.
And many of us pay attention to anything that comes from the CRA. It makes my blood run cold when I get a letter from them. So that's good.
There is that, you know, I think CRA is more broadly, though, trying to make changes in how it communicates with Canadians and to become more client-focused, to become, you know, more user-friendly, to be able to put out notices of assessment that actually makes sense to people. And this just seems like information that people would actually find useful.
Great idea. And there's so much of the infrastructure is already there, not just from a data standpoint, but they also know how to mail a letter. So that's something.
True, they do. This is kind
Jennifer,
of low-hanging fruit.
This is really, really important work, and I appreciate you taking the time to come talk to us about it.
Oh, thank you for being interested. Thanks a lot.
Jennifer Robson is an associate professor at Carleton University, a fellow of the Public Policy Forum, and her report was Millennial Money, Financial Independence and Well-Being for the Next Generation.